The eyes are more than the windows to the soul. Iridology is the art and science of analyzing the color and structure of the iris of the eye to gain valuable health information. Iridology is reflexology of the eye, or the irid, which is the colored part of the iris. Each tiny segment of the eye connects via reflexes and nerves and meridians to each body part and organ of the body. And the body is laid out like a map in the iris. And if you look at the iridology chart, basically the head is located at the top of the iris chart, the arms out at the sides, and the legs approximately at the bottom. The colon is the central hub of the iridology chart. And the right and left iris correspond to the right and left side of the body, respectively. And also it's laid out like a clock so that you can easily identify the spots and locations that are on the chart a little bit more readily. Two men share the title of father of iridology. The first gentleman is von Priestley. At the age of 10, he was playing in his family's garden and he had captured an owl, and the owl's attempt to get away, the owl's leg broke, and von Priestley had noticed that the owl had developed a spot in his eye immediately and became very intrigued at that. The other is Lilquist, and he's from Sweden, and he had noticed discoloration in his own eyes due to the drugs that he had ingested himself. And even though they were from different parts of the world, they had come up with similar charts. The modern father of iridology is Dr. Bernard Jensen, and it's his material that I studied personally. And there's two books that I would recommend if you're interested in getting more information on iridology by him, called Vision of Health, and also The Science and Practice of Iridology. This holistic philosophy treats the whole person. We don't just treat diseases, we treat people. This philosophy realizes that the pain in your neck may actually be your boss at work. Diseases do not create people, it's people who create diseases. And we create them by the way we live, by eating and drinking in an unhealthful way. And we also need to pay attention to our nutrition, eating and drinking, keeping in moderation. Almost more important, though, is our attitude, because our attitude is our altitude. In today's society, with our racing lifestyle and all the environmental toxicities such as radiation and pesticides and hormones in our foods and in our environment, it's almost quite challenging to remain toxin-free. But you can see quite a bit of that in the iris and try to prevent some of the stuff from occurring and preventing problems later. Everyone desires to be enlightened, to see, to know, and to understand. And iridology is a means of gaining greater understanding and enlightenment about the body. By definition, iris analysis is to discern by observation of the irides the various stages of tissue inflammation, being acute, subacute, chronic, and degenerative. And if you look at your handout, this sheet shows the four different layers of the iris, the first one being acute. And that stage of inflammation, actually, the tissues become white and start rising up in the iris. Subacute inflammation, it starts having a little bit of depth and becomes gray in color. Chronic inflammation becomes a lot darker and another layer deeper within the iris. Degenerative tissue actually looks almost black in color. You can also see healing lines in the iris. It kind of looks like healing of darning of a sock, because the tissues start forming and healing in that area where somebody may have had something going on, and that'll also look like white tissue, but it just, you see it like slowly growing back into the iris. And you can see that within a 6-month period, actually, of doing some correction in your body. The attention on the iris is where the inflammations are located in the iris and the stage of inflammation that it's in. The inherent weaknesses and their locations can also be discerned. And what this means, if you're continually running down your immune system, It'll be the area of the body where you most likely will develop some sort of a condition. That is, if your immune system's continually being run down and you're not doing something to help correct that situation. This is where you could actually see and discern four generations back in the iris. So it's four families back of lifestyles and stuff like that, because families generally pass on their eating habits, their lifestyles, and the type of environment that they live in. The language of iridology is tissue integrity. Illness usually begins with some type of overactivity, which is an acuteness in the tissue. If left untreated, this condition will either resolve or progress into a chronic underactive state. Long-term chronic conditions of underactivity will cause ever-diminishing cellular activity, with the affected tissue finally becoming degenerative and non-functional. And this process is referred to as tissue degeneration. Arthritis, cardiovascular diseases, and cancer are all chronic degenerative diseases. With cancer, the tissues are in an altered state of energy, and with all of them, the tissues are in a dying or extremely low state of energy. I think of chronic and degenerative as representing tissue integrity. Iris analysis concerns itself with tissue integrity, not with diagnosed conditions or named diseases, including inherent strengths and weaknesses, collectively called constitutions. And constitutions can be compared to grains of wood. And I also gave in your handout a picture of the iris showing the different types of constitution. A tight-grained oak would be a 1. That would be an extremely strong constitution. And a loose-grained pine would be a 10. The average constitution in an iris ranges from a 3 to a 7. Although somebody could have an extremely strong constitution and abuse their body by drinking and, you know, eating the wrong types of foods and things like that, and abuse their body and really get away with it. And we've all seen that. Although somebody else can have a weak constitution, they just may need to tend to their body a little bit more. They can be just as healthy as somebody with a strong constitution. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's an ill aspect of your health if you have a weaker looking constitution in the iris with the fibers. After studying iridology, I was afraid to look into my own eyes because I didn't know what I would see. And I used to have this beautiful golden color in the middle of my iris, or so I thought. It was actually grease and toxins in my diet. I cleaned up my diet, started eating a vegetarian diet and more healthy foods, and actually the color became lighter in the colon area of my iris. So things can change, and it's actually quite noticeable from the naked eye to see things like that just by looking in the mirror. Although I use optometric equipment when I'm doing the exam, you can see quite a bit just from the naked eye actually as well. Somebody can have the best diet in the world, and if they have malabsorption going on in their colon, you are not going to absorb the nutrients. So even if somebody's a vegetarian and taking all the correct vitamins and stuff like that, if your colon's lined with sludge, you're really not going to absorb any of that. And malabsorption is readily seen in the iris by an analysis also. I have a larger chart with me today that shows where the colon's located in the iris, and unfortunately I don't have this in the handout, so I'll go over this a little bit, and then if you'd like to see it afterwards, you're welcome to look at it. The colon, again, is located in the center of the iris, and this first picture here shows what a healthy colon would look like in the iris. It's well-rounded. They show a diagrammatic picture here as well as actual photograph of an iris. The rest of these are other conditions that can develop in the colon, but this is colitis, which is a pretty common disorder. And it's pretty amazing that you could see different things like this in the iris. But I have seen one is like prolapse. They show up here where it kind of like sags. I've seen that actually quite a bit, and that can be where somebody's constipated all the time. There's some people that walk around, you know, it's kind of personal subject here, you know, with, carrying their stuff for like 3 weeks or so, and it's pretty amazing. But, and that will actually create that because they actually have all that weight going on in their colon. Also, if you refer again to your handout, and if we look at the iris signs, the first picture on the upper left-hand quarter of the radii solari, this is actually showing if there were a bunch of toxins in the colon. The lines going out and the radius type of form are actually showing where the toxins would dump in different organs in the body. Basically, somebody would have something possibly serious going on, although what you see in the iris can actually show up years to come before it actually presents itself in the body. And then we have the healing lines that I was referring to a little bit earlier, that it's like darning of a sock where you actually see the lines developing. In the center of the page is the lymphatic rosary. It looks like in the eye, like little puffs of clouds that are almost at the outer edge of the iris. And that means a congested lymphatic system, which is our first line of defense. So somebody with something like that going on may have experiencing a lot of colds and a lot of just generally run-down immune system. If they start exercising and maybe getting some massages, they can help alleviate that condition a little bit, as well as my method would be some herbal remedies. But then there's underactive and overactive stomach. What is more common is the overactive stomach. I'm sorry, the underactive stomach. I was pointing to the correct one. You see that quite a bit because of our digestive systems today with the processed foods that we're eating and the good diets that most of us have and eating on the run and stuff like that, eating quick food and overprocessed. So that could, I'll go over a nutrition chart a little bit later on what you could do to help that. And the upper corner here, the arcus senilis, actually you could see senility coming up in people. What this looks like is a little crescent moon. It's kind of whitish in color. It's kind of an anemia, but it's also a sign of senility or the possibility of it developing in somebody. The open and closed lesions are basically where toxic settlement is in the body. So I would severely address that if I've seen something like that going on. In the bowel pocket on the top of the page, kind of like the colon chart that I showed you a little bit earlier, you can see where there's collections and little pockets in the colon along the little collarette line there. As well as if there's different like sags and different movements, you could see the ballooning and spasming in the colon. Below that is the sodium ring, and that's also sometimes referred to as a cholesterol ring. And somebody may be experiencing high cholesterol or high blood pressure or possibly just eating too much salt in the diet, but that kind of like goes hand in hand. I was talking to a friend of mine who was a medical doctor, and I was telling him about iridology, and he asked me to look in his eye, and I seen the cholesterol ring, and I went, and I was like, oh my God, I hope I didn't say that out loud. Because I certainly wasn't expecting to see that. So I just mildly handed it and handled it and asked that, you know, he maybe should be exercising a little bit more. I didn't want to step on that line there. The miasm here is actually when the toxins have spread throughout the system. The whole iris looks like a yellow or brown. It just kind of looks dirty. You've heard of dishwater blonde hair. This is kind of like a dishwater iris because the toxins have spread and dispersed throughout the whole iris and actually changed the whole color of the eye. And so maybe if somebody's worked in a chemical factory or been exposed to some sort of environmental toxicities real heavily, you might see something like that going on. The absorption ring above that, sorry, I skipped that one, is what I was referring to as the malabsorption that you would see. This would be in the small intestine area of the iris. And they actually also call it a pupillary frill because it looks a little frilly in that area. That one definitely you would have to have a piece of equipment to see that, but it's amazing that it's there, because sometimes people think, well, I'm eating right and I'm doing everything, I don't understand what's going on. The nerve wreath is the collarette that separates the colon area and the rest of the iris, and that's actually your autonomic nervous system, so you can sort of see what's going on there, and it connects in with the heart is lying along that line and some of the other major organs like that. Below that you see anemia, got the arc, a little crescent moon on the top and the bottom of the iris, and it also is kind of like milky looking in color as well. And the circulatory ring is actually a dark blue ring that you would see on the outside of the iris. And sometimes you see this in older people, it could be younger people too, that are not getting enough exercise, you know, or moving around quite a bit, or may have a varicose vein problem going on. That actually is readily seen by the naked eye. And one of my clients, she was slash friend, I was just kind of helping her, and I mentioned it to her, and she's like, God, you're shrewd, you know, I never even seen that in my own eye. And I was like, you know, it's pretty blatant to see that, you know, but sometimes we don't look at our own eyes or anything else on us. So another thing that's not on here, but I do see quite often, is actually stress rings in the iris. They're lines that cut across all the organs. And since I have them in my own eyes, I like to call them overachiever rings. The iris chart is actually constructed on Hering's law of cure, which states, all cure starts from within out, from the head down, and in the reverse order that the symptoms first appeared. So in other words, as you begin to think, eat, and live in a more healthful way, you experience in reverse order all the conditions and symptoms that led to someone's present unhealthy condition. The majority of routines that we have in our lives are learned habits. And I'd like to tell you about habits. A habit is a H-A-B-I-T. If we take away the H, we still have a bit. We take away the A, we still have a bit. If we take away the B, we still have it. So, sometimes we need to make minor habit changes in order to make major changes in our lives. And many believe that it takes 21 days to change a habit. And I think that it's important to start slowly. Unless somebody was in a crisis situation, I think eliminating something that might be easiest, you know, if, for example, if somebody was eating red meat or too much salt, to give up one thing at a time so there's not too much of a drastic change on the system. The science of iridology focuses the healing on the five main eliminative organs. And I've included in your handout an iridology nutrition chart. And what it focuses on is mainly is the colon first, then the kidney, the liver, the lungs, and the skin. So if we look at on our chart, the first column names the different organs. The second one refers to different vitamins that would be beneficial for that. The middle one is for the different minerals that would be beneficial. And then the last is herbs. And for the colon, they recommend flaxseed, psyllium seed, slippery elm, alfalfa, comfrey root, and chlorophyll. And what I like for a mild cleansing of the colon is aloe vera and chlorophyll in combination for a mild one that's pretty safe for almost anybody to do. When I was talking about the underactive stomach on the iris sign chart, this is a little supplementation and pretty detailed directions if somebody were to need to do that to increase the acid in their stomach. And on the back, on the top, is the kidneys. And the herbs that would help that are alfalfa, uva ursi, bloodroot, buchu, comfrey, juniper, oat straw, parsley, scurvy grass, and shave grass. My personal favorite is uva ursi for the kidneys. And for the liver, yellow dock, alfalfa seeds, archangelica, artichoke, blue violet, baldo, cascara sagrada, dandelion, golden seal, marigold, mullein, nettle, oat straw, salt palmetto, and white oak bark. Though it's not listed on this, I like milk thistle for the liver because it actually starts to rebuild cells if you're taking it for a while. For the lungs, comfrey, lungwort, angelica, elecampane, eucalyptus, fenugreek, licorice, marshmallow, mullein, sage, and thyme. My favorite for the lungs is marshmallow. It's because of the name. And for the skin, oat straw, alfalfa, bay leaf, burdock, chickweed, elderflower, sarsaparilla, and yarrow. And for the skin, my personal favorite is burdock. Although the herbs are listed here, I suggest you go to a professional or talk to somebody or do some research on your own to make sure that the herbs don't contraindicate with any medications that you currently may be on or any other herbs that you're taking. But some helpful information for you there. Sometimes the way I approach healing, if somebody has something going on, a toxic settlement in a particular area, especially one of the main eliminative organs, I like to do liver flushes. It actually pulls bile and little stones out of the liver. It's amazing, actually, what it can do. And the relief that people get after one, sometimes several flushes, depending on what's going on. I've used it even with people with hepatitis C that have had it for like 20 years. And it's made a major difference in their lives. And also, I like kidney and colon flushes as well. I don't personally do colonics, but I use herbal preparations and remedies to help cleanse the different organs. And also with the kidneys, you can remove kidney stones. So it can be quite awesome.
What is your view of colonics?
My own personal view is that I think it could be a little harsh on the system. I know some people do them and they really love them. And I think that they could be beneficial for some people that are impacted, like I was referring to earlier, that, you know, sometimes they may need that. But I wouldn't recommend it personally. Iridology complements nicely with many other methods of analysis. And what I use it with mainly is acupressure point testing. So if I see something going on in the kidney and I happen to be going through my exam, it's most likely I'm going to find something in the pressure point on the kidney as well on that person. It's pretty accurate. Although I don't think iridology stands by itself, although somebody could do that. Although I used to think that somebody had to be psychic in order to read the eye when I first studied it. But after working with it, I think for at least a period of 6 months, if somebody studies it and practices it and looks at a lot of eyes on a continual basis, it's amazing what information you can get out of it. And I think it also helps to narrow down what the root cause is of what's going on with somebody, and I think that that's important to actually get to that rather than just treating the symptoms with somebody. Prevention is actually the main goal of iridology, and as I mentioned earlier, sometimes you can see things in the iris that actually don't show up in the body for years to come. So if you see something, you could actually start getting a head jump by cleansing or just doing some herbs to try to assist your body to function better on its own to eliminate the toxins, because, you know, there is just so much going on in our environment, and I don't think that we can avoid it. I don't think we can go live in a bubble. So my way of handling that is doing regular maintenance flushes and cleansing and different things like that. Some people don't need to do it as often, but I like at least once a year. Maybe more if somebody had something severe like hepatitis C or something like that. If somebody comes to me for an iridology exam, I have a digital camera that I take a picture of their iris, and I download it into my computer, and I have a computerized iridology program that actually overlays an iris chart onto the eye. And so you can pinpoint with the mouse and see what organs are being affected by that. It's fun playing with the technology. And when I've taught the different classes in iridology, it's also been very beneficial for the students to see each other's eyes, and then we're comparing, because the people are right there and saying, yeah, I got that going on, or no, you know, you're a little off with that. So it's been really beneficial for students in classes to see stuff like that as well. And you could get a printout and see kind of the changes that occur in your own iris. then over the years. I will be offering a course in June in iridology at the Heart Center in Geneva. If anyone's interested, I do have a sign-up sheet for that. And I am open for questions right now.
I have twofold. One, is it more difficult because I have very dark eyes as opposed to my husband who has very light eyes, and I look at his and it's like, wow. You
know, yeah, you see everything. Laid out there.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's more difficult. And also, for myself, I have certain family histories and things that have gone on, but people have actually come, and even though I have dark eyes, I have a very dark ring around.
That's called a scurfrim, and sometimes it could mean something going on with the skin or the way you're eliminating through the skin. Could be something going on there. But yes, it can be more difficult looking in a dark eye. I, however, have a really bright light that allows me to get more information. So, but if somebody was doing it on their own as a student, it would be better for them to start off with people with lighter colored eyes so that they get more familiar with what they're seeing. But it can be done.
Well, you were talking about flush. I was wondering if you would address what that really means.
Okay. For the liver, we naturally collect through bile and different things or stones or depending on our health and how our liver is functioning, different things in our liver. And sometimes people develop kidney stones. It depends on their own body's weaknesses or strengths or, you know, how it's functioning. Although we can abuse the liver up to 80% and still have like 100% function. But it really cleanses out the liver so that the liver function at a better rate. So that your body, the liver is your general captain of your body. So if that's cleansed and functioning better, everything in your system is going to work better because it cleanses your blood and everything else. Oh, okay.
What is it? Is it something you drink? Is it something that you take? Is enema?
No, it's something you drink. The liver is only a 24-hour process. Although you need to take the next day off, not planning on going to work or going anywhere. But you actually do see what comes out in the toilet. And, you know, it's quite amazing. You know, some people could have like 100 little stones and things. Others could have like 1,000. And they range in size from peas to quarters.
I was trying to get those herbs that are listed on that last column. Are they for the general health of that particular organ? Like, for instance, like the stomach, would they be for underactive or overactive or just for general health of the stomach?
For general health of the stomach, because that, okay, the chart, okay.
I also have two questions.
Okay.
The first one is, can you recommend any websites or other resources that if somebody wanted to find out more information about this that would be useful?
I know Jensen has a website. I haven't frequented it, so, you know, I'm not really up to date. I would have to do more research to see. I don't really know. But maybe actually in his books, he might have information on that.
And the other question is, do you see any change if somebody's had the eye surgeries done, like the laser surgery, radiotherapy? Does that change this whole thing at all?
No, because that's on the exterior of the cornea. It doesn't get into the fibers of the iris at all.
Questions. One is, does the color of the eye make any difference?
No. Basically, no.
And the second question is there much understanding from the point of view of science of what causes, why the iris reflects what's going on in the body?
Because it's reflexology, it's connected by the reflexes, the nerves, and the meridians, so it connects to the organs and the body. So just like the hand reflexology or the foot reflexology, where you know all the different organs are, or somebody new reflexology, they're connected in that way also. All of our meridians and energy, do you know what meridians are? Connect to all our different organs, so in that way. Okay.
When you do your pressure point, kind of as a second analysis,
Do you use the hands and feet?
Yes, I do. I'll check all the major organs, and it's at different points of the body. The feet, I check actually the liver and the kidney and the feet.
This falls, in a lot of ways, it sounds like preventative care. So in any way, is this allowed under any insurance companies that you know of?
That's always the question. Some of my visits are covered by insurance because I have a PhD.
Do you notice if there's any correlation to the map of the eye and the chakra system or the energy system of the body? And also, would there be any metaphoric correlations like the emotional and mental aspects of who we are? Would that be sort of mirrored as part of
Definitely. As far as it being related to the chakras, yes. I definitely think it's related to the chakras. And there's actually an iridology chart that's by Inner Light Resources, I believe. And it shows actually the different colors of organs. You'll, you know, see the liver being in a yellow. So it color codes each organ so you know what chakra system that it's going to and what zone of the body.
So how is it mapped out? It looks like the body, in the eye, the eyes on top, just like normal, mm-hmm. would it be kind of going up this way?
It's not that cut and dry because if you look at the map, you know, you can see the organs are in different spots. And as you may know, the chakras control different organs, so with whatever area that they're in. So the best thing I would say is maybe look and see if they have at the Quest Bookstore the Inner Light Resource Iridology Chart. I think it's called Iris Chart on top, and you'll see like the colored wheel, basically. It looks like this, but it's just like one iris, and it has some written descriptions on that. Okay.
Is there a way for just a regular person to look at the eye that's a little bit more comfortable than trying to maneuver a magnifying glass, pin light, and whatever?
All the stuff that they recommend in the books?
Yeah.
I think if you just use a pen light only, you could look in the mirror and still see quite a bit. If you're using the... They have a reverse chart of this. This isn't it, but they have a reverse chart that you'll see in his books that you can use to hold up to a mirror and use a pen light and look yourself, and you'll see quite a bit just with that.
Will any of these things change in your eye? Do they also change the way you see? Are they like need new glasses? Or?
No.
They don't change it?
No. Well, okay, I shouldn't say it in that way because, you know, if the eyes are tied into your liver, and so if your liver was functioning better, that could possibly help your eyesight. And if you relax the muscles in your neck and shoulders and do some herbs that are recommended for the eyes and things like that, you could help that. Okay. I also do light therapy, and I improve my eyesight 3 diopters by doing that. So there's other ways to do that without surgery. So I use the box that was developed by Dr. Jacob Lieberman. It's a spectroreceptivity system. The spectroreceptivity system projects 20 different colors of light, and they basically work with the chakra system, and it helps to balance that, and it does work with the emotions, actually, to balance that. And it enters, actually, by way of the eye. It balances the brain, the nervous system, and the body as a whole on the cellular level. So you have a whole bunch of things occurring, healing on the cellular level. The muscles are relaxing in the system, which are allowing more energy and more things to free up in the eye area. But it's relaxing the muscles around the eye, which commonly, you know, they say, oh, you're going to have to wear glasses when you turn 40. And it's because the muscles become so tight and tensed around the eye that you have that stress and strain and don't see as well. Once that loosens up by doing the light therapy plus eye exercises and changing a couple minor habits, you get a drastic improvement. And it's actually rapid. I improved my eyesight 3 diopters in a 2-week period, and it has stayed.
May I add to that of reading Lieberman's book, Take Off Your Glasses, and, because that's where I started. Mm-hmm. And then I was just led to Larry, you know, with an ad, you know, just what, because I had a doctor who said, well, you need glasses to read. And I said, not as long as I can thread a black thread through a needle do I need glasses to read. Yeah, but I was at an advantage because I had never put on glasses except to watch TV and for driving. And so my eyes were used to moving, you know, and now I just do them for driving, and that's it.
Awesome.
But I'm saying that people who have been, you know, just like Lieberman, you know, have been wearing glasses for everything all their lives, I think are at a more of a disadvantage. I've got to,
correct,
you know, TSS. Yeah.
Right. How I kind of was led to Lieberman, I was given a cassette tape, and on his tape he says, why is it that you go to an emergency room for a broken arm and get a cast? And they say it comes off in 8 weeks, and they give you glasses, and they say they're yours for life. And they actually keep increasing the prescription, and you have to like adjust because the sidewalk, you're like trying to step to find it for like 3 days. And with the program, you're adjusting the prescription down a little bit so that you're allowing your eye to work better. And it improves in that way.
What about, what's your opinion of doing muscular massage on your eyes? Would that be as effective as the light therapy if you were focusing on muscular massage?
I think definitely it's beneficial because one part of the program is hitting the different pressure points around the eye, as well as doing eye exercises. So yes, that definitely would help. In China, they have the elementary students doing eye exercises daily in school, and you don't see them wearing glasses as much as children, so as the American public, because they neglect to have us exercise our eyes. So, did you ask a question about emotions and I didn't answer? There's a whole other method of iridology, I think called the Rayad method, that focuses on personalities and more of emotional aspects. I hit emotional aspects more by body symbology. So if somebody has something going on in their shoulder, or if you see something in the shoulder area of the eye and they physically have something, that can tell a lot because as you even see on this chart, you know, each one side of the body is masculine and the other side's feminine. So you can narrow things down in that way. So I do incorporate that into the work that I do so that I'm getting a holistic picture for people. Because I think, you know, like I said, our attitude is our altitude, and a lot of our emotions and stuff like that really play into it. And sometimes it's knowingly and unknowingly. And that actually plays actually even more into the light therapy, where things are released in a subtle but powerful way.